Amen. Is God good?
Yes.
Amen. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. I just learned that just like 6 months ago. I knew the first half, you know, that the God is good all the time. But then you say it again, all the time, God is good. That's neat, you know. That's good stuff. Now, do you believe that, though? Because that's the thing. It's one thing to be able to repeat the little cute Christian thing that everybody repeats. It's another thing to actually believe in your heart God is good. That is one of the definitions of faith from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, which we're not going to read today. But it says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. For if you're going to please God, if you're going to come to Him, you need to believe He exists, and you need to believe that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You need to believe He exists and that He's a rewarder, that He is good, that He's on your side. Do you know God's on your side? One of the neat things about Jesus that Kay brought up in that word was the little kids came to Jesus. Do you think He was a grumpy, like, church person? No, little kids are climbing on Him. He was a nice guy. He was fun to be around. He would have been a magnetic personality. And the little kids were running around, and it was disrupting what was going on. And the disciples were going to make sure that there was order in the meeting, because there's too many kids climbing on Jesus. And He said, forget it. The kids can climb. This is a good thing. And so it's good that we have kids in church, because I know that's near and dear to the heart of God. Hallelujah. So baptism is coming up again. This is a big deal. If you've not been baptized, I would strongly suggest that you consider that. Pray about that. We've got a small list of people getting ready to get baptized. We'd love to have a great, big, huge list of people getting ready to get baptized. So praise God for that. All right, we are continuing our series that we are calling Big Words. Big Words is our series, and today's big word is faith. Well, you got to talk about faith, right? I mean, they call Christianity, they call it the faith. You know what I mean? It's the faith. And so faith is a really, really important thing, and having faith like a little child is super, super important. Being able to trust like a little child. You know, they believe in Santa Claus when you tell them. So you got to be careful what you tell them. You know, I guess I should have said, you know, close your ears or whatever if you're little, but I'm not a huge fan of lying to your kids out of, you know, because it's a holiday or that sort of thing. But, you know, they believe things. So you got to be very, very careful what you tell them, or they're not going to trust you later on. But little kids are believers. They believe what you tell them. And so Jesus wants us to believe Him. He wants us to have faith. And so today we're going to talk about faith. We're going to do so by looking at three situations and three amazing statements that Jesus made. Jesus said some incredible things. So we're going to look at three situations and three things that the Lord said. First situation, there was a father who had a son, and the son was like epileptic, or they describe it as being demon-possessed in the Bible. There was a spirit that threw him into the fire, tried to kill him, all this stuff. And so this father heard that there's going to be a prayer meeting. So brought the kid. And the disciples are praying, and they're trying to get the demon cast out. And if you know the story, they were not having much success. They were trying their best, but they couldn't get it to work. They're trying to get this kid set free from the problem, from this demon, and they couldn't do it. So Jesus was off doing something else, and he comes in, and he hears the story. You know, like there's some kind of ruckus, and he's like, all right, what's going on here? And they're like, well, we've been praying, and it hasn't been working, and the dad wants a refund, and, you know, and there's all this big concern about what's going on. And so Jesus responds to that. Let's look at Matthew. This is in Matthew chapter 17. We're going to read 17 through 20. So this is Jesus' reaction to what was going on. O unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed from that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, because you have so little faith. I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing will be impossible for you. Now, I'm sure the disciples were feeling a bit discouraged. Because, you know, it wasn't supposed to work that way. It was supposed to be, you say your thing, the people get healed, everybody think you're awesome, and that's how it goes. But it wasn't working. They were having an off day. It was like a dud service. You know, it just wasn't happening. And so Jesus says, come on, guys, have some faith. If you just had a little bit, boy, what you could do. And then he says, nothing will be impossible. So I'm sure they were discouraged. I'm sure their faith... Have you ever prayed for something and it didn't work out? Does that build your faith or destroy your faith? You tend to learn to have less faith. But what Jesus says to the disciples in this situation is nothing will be impossible. There is a way to get somewhere that you can have more, that this sort of thing isn't going to happen. Nothing will be impossible. So Jesus is saying, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible. Isn't that an astounding statement? That's an astounding statement. Scenario number two. There was a Pharisee who invited Jesus over for dinner. And he didn't want just to have Jesus there. He wanted to have other people see him have Jesus there. So he invited the community so that people would know Jesus came to his house and it'd be this wonderful thing. Except a bad girl came to dinner. And I can't imagine this was socially appropriate at that time. I know it would not be socially appropriate at this time. So like we, out at Matt and Celeste's, we had Grill and Chill last Wednesday. It was super awesome. A lot of good time. It was wonderful, wonderful. Let's say that a lady of ill repute, not very good at saying that, whatever, ill repute, came to the Grill and Chill, and I'll just, as the pastor guy, I'll kind of take that role just to show how awkward this would be. And this girl of ill repute came and like started kissing my feet and crying and pouring perfume on my feet and wiping my feet with her hair. And I'm just talking, hey, Ryan, how's it going? You know, this is crying girl on the ground. And the host was like, do you remember what the host's response was? It was, if this dude was a prophet, he would know who that is touching his feet. And then, you know, Jesus goes into the he who's been forgiven much loves much, and he who's been forgiven little loves little. And here's the response in Luke chapter 7 to the girl. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So we've seen Jesus say that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Now he says to this girl, who the people were embarrassed that she was even there, Jesus says to them, your faith has saved you. You have been forgiven. This girl was completely forgiven. You know, there's books in heaven that have written down what we've done. And everything she did was erased right there. Your faith has saved you. My guess is she was one of those who did not have a decent childhood. She probably had some difficulties and was distraught over where she was in life and had faith that Jesus could do something. And he said to her, your faith has saved you. Another scenario, there's a woman who needs healing. She's been bleeding for 12 years. She needs to get healed. This is a terrible situation in the Jewish culture because you're not really supposed to interact with people in that you're kind of supposed to be in seclusion and that sort of stuff. So 12 years of that, I mean, man, besides all the health things. And she thinks to herself, she knows Jesus is going to pass by. And so she says to herself, if I could only touch the hem of his garment. And now I was talking to, or I was at a meeting where somebody who's up on all the Jewish stuff was there. And he was talking about the prayer shawls and the hem of the garment and all this stuff. And there's some profound significance to touching that hem of the garment. It's not just that she made that up. It was... I forget the significance of it, but it was very, very important. Touching that was something that had profound meaning in that culture. So do you remember what she does? She pushes through the crowd. It's just a mob. The disciples, after Jesus says, hey, who touched me? They were like, how can you ask who touched you? This is a mob. There's people everywhere. So she pushes through the crowd. She gets her hand on the hem of his garment and she is healed. Matthew 5, 33 and 34. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. So Jesus didn't even know. She snuck a healing. You know? Like she went up and took one. And he was like, what just happened? You know, who was that? So she's afraid because she thinks, oh, I didn't ask. You know, I just went up and took it. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering. Your faith has healed you. Jesus says, faith like a mustard seed, nothing is impossible. He says, your faith has saved you. And he says, your faith has healed you. Boy, there's something here with faith, isn't there? There's something important with faith. Really, really, really important stuff. Does faith make a difference in your life? Has faith made a difference for you in your past? Can you think, faith changed my life? There was a point in time where faith made a difference for me. Do you believe that? I believe that for me. Do you believe there's times in the future where faith can make a difference for you? Amen. We have seen the power of faith in the past. We will continue to see power through faith in the future. However, haven't you been in that scenario, that situation where the disciples were in the first example? Remember, let's put that up there, Matthew 17, 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Is that a faith statement? How come this doesn't work for me? How come Jesus can do it with apparent ease and he's like disgusted that I can't? And how come it works for you, but it doesn't work for me? Why couldn't we do it? Have you been there? Oh man. Now, I want you to notice Jesus did not say, well, you couldn't drive it out because we want to keep this demon. We want this demon here. That's God's plan. We're going to teach this dad something about his son or whatever, so we're keeping the demon. That was not the answer. The answer was, we need to work on faith, and you read it a little bit more. There were some spiritual disciplines involved. This is the prayer and fasting. This kind comes out through prayer and fasting. In Mark, it just says through prayer. But there's an indication that we need to grow in our spiritual disciplines to be able to connect closer with God so that we can more effectively access the power of God. So there's faith and spiritual discipline involved in operating in this way. He said, you can get there. Nothing's impossible. So let's talk about some common errors in understanding faith so we can get better at it. Amen? If we want to have faith make a difference for us in the future, we should be better at having faith. And so we're going to talk about some common errors. Now, one of the things that is not in my notes that I'm going to throw in real quick. What is it? Baseball season right now, isn't it? People playing baseball. What do we got going on? Anybody a Twins fan? I'm not a real baseball guy. I heard the Twins are doing bad. Somebody was telling me, oh, I usually watch the Twins, but eh. Twins doing bad? All right. Yeah, okay. Twins are terrible. All right. Go Twinkies. But they got a new stadium, and it's really awesome. I haven't been there, but I heard it was really good. So anyway, if you hit the ball half the time and you get to first base, is that pretty good? Half the time that you'd be batting 500, that would be a major league record by a lot. Getting a hit 40% of the time is like the coveted thing that we're not sure anybody's ever going to do. That means that more often than not, you fail when you are the greatest baseball player ever. Christians, I believe, are afraid of failure. We want to step out and have it work perfectly every time. And I hate to burst your bubble when we're talking about faith, but it just doesn't work perfectly every time. What we need to do is learn and grow and get better. Amen? Rather than just put the blinders on and say, I'm afraid of failure, let's just accept it the way it is and pretend everything is fine. Let's learn to get better. Get comfortable with that. As a preacher, I don't remember who I was talking to, but I told him, you have to get comfortable making a fool of yourself from time to time. Sometimes you get up there and you say something stupid. You know what I mean? Sometimes you get up there and it's like, oh, well, that was an off day. The worst service I've ever been at. I led worship and preached. I mean, it was terrible. My wife, who's not in here right now, so I can say whatever I want. Oh no, she said, you hide. She was hiding. Oh, boy, I did that last time. I got to learn here. But now I lost my train of thought because I'm in trouble. Where was I going with that? Worst service ever. She remembers. She was there, and it really, seriously, it was. It was terrible. It was really, really bad. But I knew God called me to preach. So I was going to preach a horrible, horrible sermon that day. I mean, we stopped church in the middle, and we're like, this is terrible. We're going to pray, and we're going to believe God. I know God's got a good plan for this service. So we stopped, and we prayed, and started up again. It was just as bad as it was before. You know, it was terrible. So we just quit and let everybody go. And so get up the next day and get going. Amen? Amen. Otherwise, we never get there. So let's talk about some common errors in understanding faith so that we can get better at it. Number one, faith is not just a personal characteristic. Faith has an object. There's an object of faith. In these verses that we read, the object is assumed. It's not directly stated. In other verses, it is. Jesus says, have faith in God. So there's an object of faith. For example, I'm however intelligent I am, I'm however strong I am, I can run however fast I can run, I can, you know, play music to whatever ability I've got. That's a personal thing. It's my abilities. How about my faith? Is that just me? And that's it. It's something inside of me, and I need to make that thing inside of me better. Like if I want to get stronger, I need to go to the gym and lift weights, then I'll get stronger. Faith has an object. We are to have faith in God, not just faith. Do you see the difference? Between having faith, just sort of believing it's going to work out, and then having faith in God. Now, one of the things about be disciplined. Note, discipline is very important. All right. Here's the problem. When people think, well, it's not working, so I need to have more faith, the problem they can run into is looking internally and trying to conjure up more faith. Have you ever been there? Like, oh, I need to have more faith. So you're looking at me. Man, I need more faith. Oh! But faith has an object. It's not just in here. I need to have faith in God. So to build my faith, if I look internally, I've just short-circuited the whole process. Because I need to be believing God. I need to be trusting God. I need to be looking to God, not looking to my faith. So you don't get any better at it just feeling bad for not having enough faith and trying to grit your teeth and have more faith. We need to connect with the object of faith. We need to connect with the Lord. That can be a little bit tricky understanding that, so we're going to talk a little bit more about that in a little while. Here's another thing. Faith should turn knowledge into action. If action is not associated with it, the faith is really, it's either extremely weak or it's not there, it's just words. So, knowledge. How many people know? I mean, you know that you should floss. Should floss your teeth. Do you know that? Do you believe in flossing? If you know you should floss, that usually means you're not flossing, right? I know I should floss. That means you're not flossing. If you say, I believe in flossing, you are flossing, right? Let's believe in flossing, people. It's good. It's a good thing. But you see the difference there. Faith turns knowledge into action. You might say that you know something, but if you're not acting on it, how much faith in it do you have? Do you know you should read your Bible? Do you believe that the Word of God will change your life? If you believe it, you can't keep yourself away from it. If you have faith that the Word of God will change your life, you can be like, bye, I hope this guy will cut the sermon short so I can go find out what's in here and get my life changed because I need this. If we're trying to have faith but we have no action, we also short-circuit the process. For example, what if the women in the two examples that we talked about, the bad girl that was wiping her, using her hair to wipe Jesus' feet, and the woman that needed healing who pushed through the crowd, what if they'd have just stayed home? What if the The bad girl thought, well, God can't love me. I'm damaged goods. I'm staying home. Would she have been saved? How about the woman who needed healing? She pressed through the crowd. She was like, I know if I touch Jesus, the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She pushed through the crowd. What if she'd have stayed home and just said, well, God in his sovereignty, I guess, doesn't want me healed. I'm not healed, so I guess that's what God wants. She put action to her faith and she got what she was believing for. How about hyper faith? Have you guys heard of hyper faith? Give me a show of hands of if you've heard the phrase hyper faith. I don't care what your position on it is. Just a couple. You guys need to get out more. Man. All right. Do you think you... Well, now I got to go a different direction. You know? Got to know. All right. Can you have too much faith? Interesting question. Can you have too much faith? Have you ever seen somebody that seemed to be standing a little too strong? I had a pastor friend one time, we were at a meeting, and he said, I got a lady in my church. Her husband died 8 days ago. She won't bury him because she's believing he'll come back, he'll be raised from the dead. That's an awkward situation. Is that too much faith? Not quite sure what to do with that, are we? I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. Here we go. First off, let me just say, I love it when people have excessive faith. I am all for that. If you want to be described as hyper faith, awesome. Faith is not the problem. Okay? The problem is presumption. Nothing will be impossible. Can we believe God for anything then? Does that mean we get to pick? I can believe God for whatever I want because nothing is impossible, so it's up to me. I get to pick. No. So like, for example, if I thought, well, the Bible says nothing is impossible, faith is a mustard seed, you know, hey, I'm a pastor, I must have at least that much. That's supposed to be like a little bit. I must have that much. Gold is good, so I'm going to believe God that my piano at home turns to gold. Why not? I'll even give 10% of the increase to the church. You know, how about that? Is that faith or is that presumption? Is that me believing God or me wanting God to do something? Faith implies submission to God. I am believing in God. I am submitting to what He wants to do, and I'm believing for His plan. It's not that I have my ideas now, and I'm going to get God on board with me if only I can muster up enough faith. That'll make it so He has to do it. No. The problem here isn't having too much faith. It's faith in what you've imagined rather than faith in God. That's the problem. We want to believe the promises of God. We want to move in the promises of God. I think it's even okay you're like the disciples, ask the Lord, why didn't that work for me? Jesus answered them and helped them learn how to have it work for them. Don't just assume it's not supposed to work for you. But we need to submit to the Lord. And one of the things that people do wrong is they pick the thing that they want to believe God for themselves, rather than seeking the Lord on what that should be. All right. How do you get more faith? You want to have more faith? Because that'll help us, right? If we have more faith, we need to understand the object of our faith, that that faith is in God, not something we've made up. We need to understand how we get more faith. And the Bible tells us how we get more faith. Let's do Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ, or the word of God. Faith comes from hearing. So when we put the object of our faith in front of us, we can have faith in that, rather than just being out on our own. Because you run into all kinds of trouble going out on your own. Now, less than 2 weeks, me and Ryan are going to Jamaica. Woo! It's going to be awesome. What we're going to do is we're going to do a video of the two orphanages that are drastically underfunded right now. And we are going to believe God. We're going to have faith that the need will be able to be met at those two orphanages. We are going to believe God for that. I'm very excited about that. Plus, I get to preach in Jamaica twice. I get to preach at Good Hope in Jamaica. That's going to be fun. Good Hope Assembly of God in Red Ground, St. Catherine, Jamaica. So that's going to be awesome. Very excited about that. And I believe I have a message for them. Something to set before them that they can put their faith on. And I think it's going to turn into a sermon series here as well. And we're going to call it Heads or Tails. Does that sound good? We got a few smiles. Heads or Tails. It's going to be the name of the sermon series. It's going to be based on Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 13. Don't put that up quite yet, because I got to set them up first. What I want you to do here is practice building your faith. We're going to do something. We're going to do active preaching. So there's a promise, an outlandish promise in Deuteronomy 28. That if you first heard it and you didn't know it was in the Bible, you probably wouldn't believe it. But we're going to hear it. And I want you to see if you can have faith to believe for it. The object of our faith, the Word of God. Let's see it and let's believe for it. Now, did you know that sometimes you have to believe for something scary? Sometimes you have to believe for something scary. Sometimes you have to believe to have something happen that you don't even think is possible. This is in Deuteronomy. We're Old Testament. And this is a promise to the Jewish nation, to the children of Abraham, and that is the group we are grafted into. These promises are promises we're grafted into. And so let's read these and see if we can believe it for ourselves. Go ahead and put that up. Deuteronomy 28:13 says this: The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. This is a slave nation. They're breaking free from hundreds of years of slavery. Talk about being the tail. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. The head means you're the one making the decisions. The tail has to follow the head. You ever feel like you're being drugged through life and that other forces are controlling what you have to do? That's the tail. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never at the bottom. Isn't that amazing? Always be at the top, never at the bottom. The promise to the nation of Israel is you've been slaves for generations. But if you put your faith in the living God, if you do things His way, you will no longer be drug around to places you don't want to go. You will never be forced into situations against your will. You will be the one doing the leading. You will be the head, not the tail. And you won't be crushed and on the bottom all the time. You will be on the top. I believe this is the message that the church in Jamaica needs to hear. It's not somebody else. You don't need the head to do a better job so that the tail goes to a place of prosperity. You need to be the head. Amen? And is that something we need to know here too? I mean, when I was griping about the government or this or that or whatever, the Bible doesn't say that we'll get a good head so we'll be happy tails. We'll be the head. We'll be the ones leading. We'll be the ones in control at the top. Can you believe that? 2 hours ago, would you have thought, I can be the head, not the tail. I can be the one making decisions in my life. I can be the one who's driving the bus. That could be me. Now you've heard something, you can have faith for that. You've heard the word of the Lord that the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. That you can be on the top, not on the bottom. Isn't that good news? Are you getting some faith for that? Have you been the tail and you thought, I can't stand being the tail? I don't want to be the tail. Now, is this a 3-minute, let's all cheer and then you're the head? This is a process. Amen? This is now where putting action into it needs to happen. I mean, if you don't know how to make decisions, how are you going to be the head? You got to learn how to make decisions. If you can't keep from getting drugged down by other stuff, you can't be the head. You're going to be the tail again. It takes quite a process. But if you believe, the Lord will make me the head, not the tail, you can get there. Amen? Amen. Heads or tails? Which one are you? We're going to close. The good news is that there are lots and lots of promises that we can have faith in, that we can trust in. But we have to have faith in God, in His promises. We have to know He's made us that promise. Then we can believe for it. We can believe to be the head, not the tail. We can believe to be forgiven. Amen? We can believe to be perfectly and completely forgiven. We can believe for healing. We can believe for provision. We can believe the promises of God. Sometimes, like the disciples, we don't see everything happen exactly how we wanted. These were disciples of Jesus, and it didn't work out how they wanted. What about us? Might it be a process for us as well? Don't be afraid of failure. Be willing to step out. One of the ways you step out in faith is by coming down for prayer. If you've got a need, I want you to have the courage to come down for prayer. People come down for prayer and things happen. Good things happen. What if the woman who was sick didn't touch the hem of Jesus' garment? What if in the last 2.5 years there's been somebody who could have received a miracle from God, but they just walked out the door instead of getting prayer? Do you think that might have happened? I'm going to close. I'm going to invite the prayer team forward. I want people to come forward for prayer and believe God for good things. Heavenly Father, we thank You for your love. We thank You, Lord, for Your promises. And we ask You, Lord, to give us faith, strong faith, but faith in You that's submitted to You. Not a faith going our own way in presumption, but a faith that's submitted to You. And help us to receive Your promises fully and completely. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in here. Let me restate that. I pray for those in here who have needs, that we would have the courage to have faith to overcome. Lord, give us the strength to be able to face the things that we're battling so that we can get through it. Oh Lord, I pray that You would prompt people, if today is the day for them to come up for prayer, just spark it in their hearts right now so that they can come up in faith, believing You for a touch, believing You for a change, believing You for new life. We give You praise, we honor You, we worship You. I pray Your blessing upon each one of us here. Encourage us and give us strength. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.